Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I just wanted to chime in and say that I think you have some great views on everything. And I think you have some great opinions.
Oh, well, thanks.
Including what you're talking about right now. I think you are highly underrated. I think that you're doing a great job.
I agree, Karen. Believe me.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi. First time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast. Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. My name is Will Kuntz. Welcome to the show on a Hummel. He's right here next to me. Now you can hear us both on the radio daily. You can find me on 102.5 The Bone here in Tampa Bay, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on the Johnny B Show. You can find Anna Hummel, co-host of the Bubble Love Sponge Show, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Twitch. It makes for an awkward situation sometimes. Things happen. It's a weird connection that we share that I think is kind of cool. If you're familiar with Tampa Bay radio, you may know why. And if you don't, good. Consider yourself out of the loop. You don't even have to concern yourself with it. All you need to know is that two very talented local radio personalities here in the Tampa Bay area have combined forces to bring you this podcast, The Homemade Broadcast, heard right here on 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg, Sunday evenings. If you're listening over there, howdy ho! Thanks for joining us. If you joined us on the live stream, we do that every Wednesday around 5, 6 o'clock, somewhere around there. Please do subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just search HMB Radio, Hotel Mike Bravo Radio, all one word. Find a YouTube channel, click subscribe, hit the bell. It'll notify you when we are live on that Wednesday evening, and you can hang out with us. It's a lot of fun, and this podcast essentially is that live stream, cleaned up a little bit, edited, and radio-friendly. So I thank you for joining us this week, and let's get to the show. Hello, Anna Hummel. How the heck are you?
Hello, how okay. are you?
Good, good. I'm just wonderful. I was talking to you a little bit off the top when you got into this room, and things are going not good. not good. It's always one step forward, two steps back. That's the way it always is. And I'm now looking for a normal job during the day, which is unsettling. Okay.
This is news to me. You did mention something about the job situation, but you didn't tell me what was going on. Man. So I kind of like these podcasts because it gives us a chance to catch up in real time. So
yeah.
I'm genuinely this about you, just like everybody else is. So what's going on?
All right. So check this out. And now it was a lot of different things. It was kind of a situation where it wasn't only I asked for something, got a no, but it wasn't even a no. It was like the way it was handled that was even worse and more hurtful. So I have a job at this place. I was my college job. It's always been a part-time job type of thing. And, between that and radio, it kind of made like one real job type of thing where I was able to support myself. Now, unfortunately, with the current administration that's running the country, the world's just crumbling day by day. I can't afford to work that job anymore. And even with the radio, it's really not enough to live in Tampa Bay, in the St. Petersburg area. So I didn't even ask for and it's a job that I've never asked for a raise or anything because I knew it was kind of always like a part-time type of job. I did get one that they were generous enough to give me 4 or 5 years in. I've been there like 13 years now, believe it or not. It's crazy. And I kind of at this point, I know. I kind of looked up to those guys as like brothers at this point. But I've never asked them for a raise. They gave me, I was making $15 an hour, and that was probably 8 years ago when they gave me that raise, which is pretty good. You know,
so you've been at 15 ever since.
Ever since, yeah. Yeah. And I asked them, my dad goes, hey, you need to get some sort of life insurance. And I was like, yeah, I probably do. That's probably a good point. I'm approaching 40 years old. God forbid if something happens to me, it would be...
You die from causes.
I die.
Happen, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know. So I go, yeah, that's true. I do. I wouldn't want to saddle them with like medical bills or something like that. So I said, yeah. And I know that they do something similar for the Snoozy McGee, the infamous Snoozy McGee. If you've listened to us for any period of time, you probably know who that is. It's a woman who, when I was working at the day job there, would just take naps at assorted points through the day. And so she got called Snoozy McGee.
Anytime on video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I might have some videos going back in my phone there of her. But I got a quote. It was like a cheap policy for me approaching 40 years old, $17 a month. So I go, all right, you know, I feel like
that's decent coverage.
$100,000, you know, if I died. And so I go, all right, I don't even think this is a problem. Like I almost didn't even ask. I almost just said, yeah, I'll go ahead and do that and then just let them know what I did. But I go, well, no, I better ask. That's, you know, just to be sure. So I send an email. I go, hey, you know, I got this quote for this life insurance policy. I was hoping you guys, out of a courtesy to me, you know, being here for many years of service that I've been here. And
almost a decade and a half.
A decade and a half. You know, and I keep this in mind too. The building that we were working in sold for a ridiculous amount of money for $400,000. And, you know, they're also missing out or saving, I should say, on many things like property taxes, water, electric.
Yeah.
So I figured it just wouldn't be a big deal. So at first I got no response, no response at all. And I go,
and you sent it to two guys?
Yeah, both. Yeah. And no response. I was like, okay, that's rude. Number one.
What does no response mean? Like, what's the time frame? An hour, a day, 2 days?
It was, I would say I sent it on like a Thursday. And by Monday, I still had no response.
Okay. Yeah, that's rude. Yeah, go ahead.
So I was like, yeah, that's rude. Okay. Well, maybe it just got, you know, in the backlog somewhere. So I actually saw one of the guys. He had to bring me a piece of mail because we still haven't got the logistics perfectly worked out, this work from home scenario. And he brought over the mail to me and bought me a sandwich for lunch, which was very nice of him.
That's nice.
Yeah. And so I go, hey, you know, did you get that email I sent about the life insurance policy? And he goes, yeah, I don't think Dennis is his name, wants to do that. And I go, I'll talk to Dennis. I'll talk to him. So I followed up on the email the next day, and I got an email back pretty quick. And it said...
So you send now a second email.
The follow-up, yeah, email to the one from last week.
And a response to that email.
And I got a response to that email pretty quickly, I might add, surprisingly. And it's just said, and this is the way it was worded. Now, you can't always tell tone on text, right? So perhaps it was, you know, not indignant, and like I read it, but it was along the lines of, yeah, Snoozy McGee's situation is different, and I'm inclined not to partake, participate. And that just made me go, blah. That just sent chills up my spine, just the way it was worded. So now I'm like, I know it's one of these things, too, where they probably literally don't see, you know, the extra mile that I put in for them and things that I do where I'm on beck and call. And, you know, I just assumed that this was a formality. And then to be kind of hit out of the blue like that with like, $17 a month. Nope. You know, you've been here 13 years, but nah, no thanks. It was a real kind of eye opener for me.
It's really dismissive. Made you feel like you weren't a valuable player. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It hurt my feeling. And it was more one of those things too. It's like, wow, I kind
of personal.
Yeah. I took it personally because I've known these people for a long time. And, you know, while the job wasn't meant to be a full-time job, it kind of, you know, I do a lot of things there. A lot of things. And if I were to pick up and go all of a sudden, they might be kind of up the crick, as they say, as my bubby used to say. So I don't know. I think my plan is, I was even thinking about Portillo's just opened up in St. Pete near Tyrone Mall. And I was considering, that's a hot dog place, by the way, a Chicago hot dog place.
And, oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was like an Italian joint.
Yeah, no, it's they have Italian beef sandwiches too. It's a Chicago, you know, staple. But I was even thinking about going to apply at Portillo's. It's $15
doing
an hour.
What?
Making hot dogs and using a cash register, and it's $15 an hour. You know, I could do that 3 days a week for a few hours a day, and do this other job, and do radio, and do this podcast.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was very disappointing. It wasn't even the no to the thing. It was just the way it was kind of handled. Just kind of put a bad taste.
I completely understand.
Yeah.
It's not even a petty situation. Like, you genuinely have the right to be, I don't even know if mad is the word, but like hurt.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like you put in a lot of work and you know these people personally. And I mean, I work for a mom and pop kind of company too. I don't work in corporate America. So, like you said, you do a lot of things on the back end. Like, I'm on the air, and I also take out the trash, you know, and I clean the kitchen, and I do that, you know what I mean? And not that I need to be, like, paid handsomely for those things, but it's a lot of things you just don't see behind, you know, it's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, especially when you get to know things, people personally. And, you know, I've had Bubba call me or ask me, text me, hey, can you do this for me? Can you run this errand? Can you do whatever? So, you know, you get on a personal level with these people. And when you ask them to make an investment, you know, such as like life insurance, which is pretty like, I don't want to say critical, but like owed to you after 13 years. And the fact that it's only $17 a month and they were like, nah, hard pass.
Yeah.
I would take that as well. So.
Yeah, and it wasn't even, it's like, man, I guess, you know, I was considering asking for a raise, but my God, I guess it's not going to happen if I can't get $8 a month apiece, you know, from those guys. It's just really disappointing. And somebody asked in the comments there what kind of business it was, and it's just like a financial company. They do, it's like a franchise that they own. And they sell a certain product in finance, and I kind of do their paperwork for them and their bookkeeping, case reporting, that type of stuff. So it's not super demanding or anything, but I'm just really good at it too. So I've been doing it.
Yeah,
for a long
you've
time.
Done it. You know the ins and the outs of the company and how they do things and the particulars. I mean, that's a lot to teach someone else how to do because you've just been doing it for so long. You know it like the back of your hand. I too have a story where I was kind of hurt personally, I guess. It's a little bit it's a lot bit different from your situation because it doesn't involve my job or anything like that. But my, and I hate being this person, but whatever. My birthday is coming up within like a month. So, and it's kind of a big one. And I think I mentioned this last week, you know, I'm turning 35 and I think I just want to like catalog it in a special way. You know, I happen to have a 4-day weekend that weekend. Like it's very serendipitous. 4-day weekend. I'm dating someone now. I'm turning 35. It's like a nice time of year. May, early May is a nice time of year. So I'm like, I got to do something. I'm making more money. Like I need to capitalize on this situation. So I was thinking about going to Key West. That is not happening now, which is fine with me. I just wanted to go somewhere. I wanted to get my ass on a plane and fly somewhere. So we've settled on Denver, going to Denver. Beautiful. I had a cousin who also missed out on our family reunion, but he got COVID. So I guess he has more of a legit excuse than me who just refused to get vaccinated. But he got COVID, got better, and then hit the Rocky Mountain National Park and was started sending me pictures because I was asking him how he was doing. He's like, you should check this place out. It's really cool. I'm like, yeah, I should. And then about 3 hours later, I'm like, why don't I go there? It's a lot more affordable. It's a different scenery. We're in the mountains as opposed to, you know, Key West is, I've never been, but I know it's beautiful. But I live pretty much at the beach. So why not have a little change of scenery? Okay, fine, no problem. So I've been friends with this one guy that I knew when I lived in Australia. And he was super cool when I was there. I stayed with his family for a couple weeks when I was kind of like, I was trying to leave to go to Thailand and my lease ended, whatever, just a bunch of logistical stuff. Ended up staying with his family. He came to visit me in California about a decade ago, stayed with me and my dad for like a week. I saw him and his wife about 3.5 years ago. They came to Sarasota. Like I know him, his wife, his kid. He just had a second kid. We talked several months ago, but when we did, it was kind of left off on like, hey, like come to Denver, come hang out. You know, we got a beautiful house. We got plenty of land. He moved from Brooklyn to Denver and this is much more fitting to his personality and the way that he wants to live his life. So I'm thinking, all right, I'll go to Denver. I'll stay with this guy and his family and I'll bring my boyfriend and whatever. So I sent him a message on WhatsApp. Now, I don't know if you've ever used WhatsApp, but you know, when you send it a message, you get it's two checks that it's been delivered, and then you get two blue checks when it's been seen. So he has not yet viewed my message. He hasn't opened it, but you can also tell the last time someone's been on the app, and he's been on the app, you know, a few times a day, every day, and I sent this on Sunday. So I have a feeling that he does, and I didn't even mention anything about the boyfriend, like extra people. I just said myself. You know, I'm like, hey, I'd like to see you. You know, maybe we could smoke some Merjangas. Like, you go to a dispensary. It's Colorado. It's legal. You know, and I just got nothing at all. Like, he's been on the app, but he hasn't opened it. And, you know, like, with text messages, you can kind of see what they wrote for the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, without opening it. So that's what happened is, like, he doesn't want to open it, so he doesn't want me to see that he's seen it, but I know he's seen it because I know he's been on the app. So he's just kind of dodging me, and I feel like, especially because I said, you know, my birthday's next month, I would appreciate, even if someone said no, just to be like, hey, it's not a good time, we just had a baby, like, I would understand, but, like, get back to me, like.
Yeah.
So I was kind of hurt because I thought we kind of had this relationship where it was, like, open door policy, you know. Anytime you're in Florida, come visit me. Anytime I'm in Denver, I'll come visit you. So I just feel like it's a no-go. And that kind of hurt my feelings a little bit.
Maybe it's possible that they're trying to work out logistics. Like if he has a partner or something, like, hey, I got this friend that wants to come into town, like figure out how to finagle it, you know? But I feel like he could just be honest and let you know that was the case.
Or he could, I mean, I know his wife. I'm friends with his wife, too. I've met her several times, and I know his one kid. He just had a second one, so I understand they got two small kids. I even mentioned that in the message. I said, I understand you got two small kids. If it's, you know, too much trouble, no problem. But even if you haven't discussed it with your wife, like, let me know. Be like, hey, I'm going to run this by, you know, so-and-so and see what she says, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. No problem. That's cool. So I think I'm just going to take it on myself to just book a hotel and do that, because I'm sick of just relying on people, you know, and having people say, I'll get you this deal, or you can stay with me, or, you know, go here. Go. I was like, you know what? I've had a few people try to, you know, tell me that they can help me out, or, you know, try to, you know, book a rental through my company. And I'm like, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'll do it. And then I know it's done and I don't have to worry about it. And then I don't have to ask you. Like, I hate relying on other people to get things done, because your life is never their priority and their life is never your priority. So you should just do your own thing and make sure you get the job done before it's, you know, a day before your birthday and you have nothing set in stone. So,
yeah, that's the big takeaway there. You're right. You need to just do your own thing. And then if you're there, be like, hey, I'm here. If you want to see me while I'm here.
Yeah, right.
And then
I need to be, as a Jew, so for anybody listening, this is not anti-Semitic. As a Jewish person, I need to stop being such a Jew. Because that really was, you know, I was like, I can save so much money if I stay with this guy. I'd be so great. But at the end of the day, like, I would rather pay money and then just not feel like I'm inconveniencing anybody or waiting on them to give me the green light on something. So
now the alternative, you know, to that is, of course, do your thing, do what you need to do. But also, if they have the balls to tell you, oh, you should have, you know, stayed with me, that's when you let them have it.
Yeah, I'd be like, well, I tried. I let you know like 5 weeks in advance, and even if you said you can get back to me, I don't want to be like bugging you. Like, I am not a nagger, and I'm saying that correct. I'm not a nagger. I don't like bothering people. That no one likes to be bothered about doing favors. So I ask you once, you don't respond to me, the message is in the silence. I get it. You weren't man enough, woman enough, adult enough to confront me and say, hey, listen, this isn't going to work right now. I prefer that, you know, just be honest with me so that I can make a move instead of waiting on you. But I think the message is clear, because, you know, he seems to be the type of guy that when things are fine, he's like, yeah, of course, come stay with me. You know, he's done that before in the past, so it just seemed a little bit odd. But, you know, who knows what's going on? Maybe he's in the midst of, he's not doing well with his wife, or maybe one of his kids is, you know, you never know what's going on. So I don't want to assume, but it is kind of rude. So
it is. You're right. Well, good. Go book your trip. And the 35 is, I don't know if I would say it's a big one, but it's big enough that you should celebrate it.
It's big to me. And I was explaining this to someone yesterday, and they're like, well, it's not 30 and it's not 40. It's like, yeah, but in any demographic breakdown, it's always like 16 to 24, 25 to 34. 35 starts like a new demographic to like your mid-40s. And I'm now at the age where I am, quote, you know, high risk of having a child with multiple chromosomes years old. You know what I mean? This is the time when they're like, you should probably have completed breeding. You should be wrapping it up at the very least. You should not be starting. So I feel like this, like 35 is just a year that I feel like I hear a lot when they talk about young people. They'll be like, people who are under 35 versus people who are over 35. Like, it just seems to be kind of like a landmark year, especially for women when it comes to like biological decline. So I want to celebrate this by going hiking in the Rocky Mountain National Park. Okay.
Beautiful.
That's what's going to happen.
That's a very 35-year-old thing to do. That's what 35-year-olds do.
Bake bread, go hiking.
That's
you
right.
You know, I used to be cool, Will. I feel like I'm having a lot of reflection where things that used to be very attractive to me are not at all. Like, they seem, I don't know if burdenous is a word, but they seem like they're more of a burden and a chore. I can't even imagine. I mean, even in the time that I've known you, you've seen me go to clubs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But now that's like, why would I ever do that? Now I like to drink in, you know, the late morning. and during the day. You know, right. Like I like brunching. And brunching is good. You start at noon, you end at 5, you're in bed by 10. It's perfect.
Sometimes you start at 8 and end at noon. That's just the way it goes when you're older.
Great. Even better. Even better. So I think that is alarming to me for reasons I can't really explain. Like, why? If it's not something I want, why am I concerned if I don't even want it? But it's like this shift because it's like I always thought I would like these things. I always thought I'd like getting really drunk or going to clubs or, you know, dressing like a hook or whatever. And I don't like doing those things anymore. So I'm like, oh, no, I'm old.
It kind of went from, I know what you mean, because it kind of went from going out to bars. I was never really a club person, but, going to bars. And then it went from, actually, it kind of went like this. It was more house parties, you know, hanging at somebody's house. But that's because you couldn't get into bars. Then you turned of age. You went to bars. Then you kind of wrapped around back to doing, like, somebody's house. Like, your friends are buying houses and stuff so you could hang out at their house and drink, and they would have parties. And now it's like, I just drink at my own house alone.
Yeah, it's a house party, but it's just you. It's just now me. It's sad.
Yeah. That's typically the way it goes now, which is, I couldn't even imagine. I mean, I would love to do that, I guess. I don't know if COVID had anything to do with that, the just getting used to, like, being by yourself and drinking alone. Because that was, they did a study on that alcohol-related deaths during COVID skyrocketed, which of course they would, because you couldn't do anything but drink at your house. That was it. So people became severe alcoholics during that time.
And good for them, you know? At least they picked up a hobby.
Yeah, I agree. Just drink in your lawn. That's fun.
Yeah, why not?
I did open up the box here, the stream. If anybody wants to join in, I put a link in the chat on Facebook and YouTube. If you click that, then I can get you patchy in here. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, or just want to say hello, that's cool. We can do that. There's also a phone number, 813-693-2124. I probably should have selected another destination aside from the Twitter we are broadcasting from my Twitter page, from YouTube, and from Facebook. But I had to lock my Twitter because I don't want any potential employers reading joke tweets, because they can get you fired and they can certainly not get you hired, which is probably even more likely. And my Twitter is full of, you would think I was the Joker if you read my Twitter feed. So I had to lock that down for the time being. But still follow me there. I mean, you can still follow me, home_made_man. I think I just have to accept you to get onto the feed. So if you're watching and haven't done that yet, please do.
So I am still off of social media. I've had some people ask me about it. I really don't know anything that is going on in anybody's life anymore, which is really, really odd, because what's weird about when you stop doing social media is you know that other people are doing it, but, like, you also think that everybody else stopped too because it's just not a part of your life anymore. And I feel like – and I will retweet, you know, whenever you need to go on social media, I'm more than happy to do it. But I feel like I'm getting my focus back. I feel like I'm getting my attention span back. I'm so happy that I'm not, like filling my brain with information about people that I don't need to have. Like, I don't need to know your workout regimen. I don't need to know that you ate a salad. I don't need to know that you went on a walk. Like, why did I feel that was so necessary to follow along for so many years? Like, I don't know. When did you start social media? I started in 05 with Facebook. I had a MySpace. Someone made it for me. I never used it. But in college, I started using Facebook, and it's been 17 years of me just nonstop being inundated with information about other people's lives.
Mm.
Like 17, that's half of my existence on this planet has been spent with at least probably 1 hour a day, at the 30 minutes a day at the bare minimum, up to 3 hours a day probably at the upper end, of me looking every day, mindlessly scrolling, clicking, liking, whatever. So it's a weird reality to kind of take it back to 1995 when, I mean, I have like my iPhone and stuff, and I still, that technology still exists. But I mean, in terms of like not spying on people, and I was telling this girl that I do jujitsu with, she, you know, we were talking about something. I'm like, yeah, I've been on and off social media for 2 months now. I don't know what anybody's up to. And I also feel like a spy. Like, I feel like nobody knows, like, what I'm up to, where I'm going, what I've been doing or anything. I mean, they know because I'm on the radio. So if they listen for those, like, 4 or 5 hours, they're going to know. But in terms of, like, the rest of my life, a complete mystery. Mm. And I kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got Bob Tuscan waiting in the room. Do you mind if we pop him in and see what he's got to say here? Let's do that. Hello, Bob. How are you?
I'm on my way to an undisclosed location in Miami, Florida for the world's largest cryptocurrency conference at the moment.
Wow. Woo! That's tremendous. So what's the occasion? Are you buying? Are you selling?
Big what do
you
money.
Got? Big no, money.
It's just a great opportunity to network with whales of all different sizes and shapes. It's a who's who.
Do you have a
young entrepreneurs and
do you have a Tuscan coin yet that you're selling, or is that going to be available soon?
Oh, yeah. Hashtag Tuscan coin. You can find it only at hmpradio.com.
Don't put
nice.
This on me.
what coin are you most in, what coin are you most invested in?
You know, as far as cryptocurrency goes, there are platforms these days that are really taking the crypto market and they're running with it. So Solana is a platform in which you can build a multitude of blockchain technologies with a tremendous amount of utility. In fact, I think I heard your SO talk about it at one point. I think he's aware of Solana. It's those sorts of things outside of the Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other top tier coins that are really gaining people's interest at the moment. And you know, going back to social media for a moment, there are social media platforms right now that are filling a void. One, providing free speech, which we know for a fact is not the case. And we heard the news this week of Elon Musk buying out the majority shareholder in Twitter in a tremendous move on his behalf, trolling the Twitter community as he's done on both his Twitter profile and elsewhere. And so with social media, blockchain technology can provide a free platform with true privacy as well, because one of the tenets of crypto is being encrypted, right? It's an encryption. So therefore, if you apply that to something like social media, you provide free speech, and then you provide an incentive to users. So traditionally, all of the benefits have gone to the shareholders of that company. Well, with a blockchain-based social media site like Float or Minds.io, you have now the benefit also going to the users of any advertisement or revenue that may or may not come from the platform. So yeah. Stuff like that I find to be really exciting and innovative and unique.
Yeah, there is something. There is a lot to that. The Web 3.0 stuff. I was looking into that. I like the blockchain idea for you know, I guess you could call it social media. It would just be more like your blockchain. But when you put a photo up on Instagram or something, that becomes Instagram's property now, as opposed to if you use these other formats where they actually are yours. And I guess you can create some sort of NFT out of them, potentially sell them yourself, whatever. But it's your stuff, and you're right, Bob, that it's going to be harder for them to censor you because it's so decentralized that there's no, you know, head of the snake to cut off. But man, it's so complicated. I wish, and I know that they can't really dumb it down because they're all super nerds with, you know, diseases, a lot of them that make them so smart. But I've tried listening to these guys talk, and it just goes so far over my head that I just go, okay, I think it's in good hands. I'm going to let you guys just take the wheel and you tell me what I need to do.
You handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, I don't know much about it. I've been researching it for 15 years and I still don't know what the hell is going on. But that doesn't stop me from looking at kind of the core concepts that I can wrap my head around. and seeing innovation and running with that. You know, I find that to be exciting. This conference in Miami going on right now is going to be the largest of its kind. They got Aaron Rodgers as a speaker, which
is this the Bitcoin conference they had last year in Miami? Is it the same thing?
Yeah, they do a big one every year in Miami. Okay. I'm sure there's a multitude of different conferences. This so happens to be the biggest one.
And this really, is not I got to tell you, specific, right?
What's that?
This is not Bitcoin specific. I know the last one that I heard about was.
So it's called the Bitcoin Conference, and
That's
probably why you assumed it was specific to Bitcoin. However, it really is a cornucopia of not just coins themselves, but you know, when the gold rush happened, the people that really made the money weren't necessarily the folks that found the gold. They were the guys selling the trays and Levi's jeans and all the accoutrements to go along with that gold rush. So there's a whole slew of ancillary businesses that are surrounding the crypto space, whether it's energy. You know, crypto's really stupid. I got to be honest with you. It comes from a shitload of electricity. That's really what Bitcoin is at its core. And to think that we have a money system, you know, I get some of the virtues of it not being in a central bank controlled by, you know, private bankers and all this and that. But really, they're just raping the earth, producing as much electricity as possible to print money. That's got to be a recipe for disaster at some point down the line.
Well, there's some people that are using like hydropower to mine the rest of the Bitcoin now, which is pretty cool.
The only thing I can think of is that maybe this will push us to innovate. The only thing I can think of is maybe this will push us to innovate technology that takes us to that next level with energy. And I'm kind of a Star Trek guy, believe it or not. And I always dream of this. Well, shut up, Anna. Who asked you?
You did.
Anyway, so the idea, I'm not a nerd. Listen, I listen to reggae music. I'm not a nerd.
You're trying to prove that you're cool. You're already listening.
I'm cool. All right, I'm not cool. But anyways, yeah, so like pre-energy technology and like over-unity stuff, that would be the dream, right? And maybe this will push us to that next realm. Who knows?
I certainly hope so, Bob. Well, that was very informative, Bob. I wish you the best
of
luck.
Yeah, let us know about the conference.
Yeah, check back in.
How much is it to attend, may I ask?
Oh, that's a great question, actually. I'm not even going to attend. So it's 1,500 buckaroonies for general admission pass to this conference.
Oh, my God.
And they have passes that go all the way up to $20,000 a person for what they call a whale pass. I will tell you that the majority of the action takes place at the after parties, at the penthouses, at the hotels in the surrounding area. So that's what I'll be utilizing the conference for this go-around. It's just having all of these CEOs and people in one place. And the conference itself is just kind of a formality in many regards.
Right. I imagine that the conference itself, now I don't want to be making generalizations, but I feel like it's going to be quite a sausage fest anyways. So you probably want to just wait till the parties when all the CEOs bring the pretty women, right?
Well, I'm a gay man, so I'm into that, actually.
Plot twist. Okay.
No, I'm not actually.
Yeah, okay. Oh, okay, sure.
I don't know. If you were like, I identify as a tree, I'm like, I just have to respect it. I'm like, yeah,
listen,
of course you are.
I identify as a gay man when I'm at the crypto conference, okay? I'm not always a gay man, only when I'm at a crypto conference. I will do the sausage fest for a little bit of Bitcoin. It's not, you know. I mean, why not, right?
Right.
When in Rome. Yeah, seriously. All right, Bob. Thanks for checking in, man. And hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate the call.
All right. See you guys.
Later, man. There you go.
Awesome.
Bob Tuscan on his way to the Bitcoin conference in Miami. Wow. What a place. 813-693-2124. There is a... Oh, my God. I can't. And I'm not surprised about this. I don't know if she wants me to reveal her identity, but there is someone very close to me that is listening to this podcast right now who knows who Bob Tuscan is from her journeys down the interwebs, which is frightening and funny all at the same time. So I don't want to blow her cover. I don't know if she cares or not. So I won't say who it is, but That's hilarious. So, Bob, you got a fan in one of my intimate family members. Mike from St. Pete says 35 means that you can run for president of the United States.
Ew, gross.
I'm going to pass on that. Unfortunately,
although I may be old enough to run for president, I unfortunately was not born in this country. So that disqualifies me from any sort of presidential run.
I'm sure you're very broken up about that, too.
Yeah.
Solid 7 told me to join the trades regarding a job. Yeah, maybe I could. I'm not very manly, which is a problem. But maybe somebody, if I had the right sort of mentorship, perhaps I could do that. I wish now in retrospect I would have went to, you know, some sort of technical school and learned how to be a plumber or something, because they make $100,000 a year. You know, you get a job with the city or something.
Schooling's not very long either. I think that like the apprenticeship is like 2 years or something like that.
There was a guy I talked to today at the Radio St. Pete board meeting that I was at, and he was saying that he's desperately looking for a machinist. He makes his company, I guess it's based here in St. Pete, and his company makes shells for batteries, mostly car batteries. And I guess it's a big, you know, company that's based right here in the Tampa Bay area, but he can't find anybody that's a machinist that's able to do these jobs anymore. So I don't even know where you go to get trained for something like that, but I would assume some sort of technical school that's probably super cheap and probably not much schooling too.
Is that something you're considering?
I can't do school anymore.
Yes, but in terms of like being a like a tradesman,
I don't think I could do school anymore. I'm too far removed. The thought of that makes my butt pucker. And I don't think I could do it. He also said that Home Depot has a Husky brand like set up for you already. That's hurtful and true. It is a good brand there. So I wanted to, you know what I did this week that I wanted to tell you? And I guess we can wrap up on this here. I know you got to go pretty soon. Sure. You know what I did?
What?
I think I actually texted you and asked if you wanted to go because.
I know what you're talking about.
I did cryotherapy this week. Is that
cryotherapy?
Cryotherapy. Yeah, I keep on saying it wrong. Now, if you don't know what that is, essentially, it's you get in this big machine that cools down to like minus 60 something degrees or 70 degrees, and supposedly it has these health benefits. It uses like liquid nitrogen.
You want to induce autophagy, and that's one way to do it.
Can you explain to the people? I know what that is, of course, but could you explain that to what that means for people who are listening?
I mean, I have a very rudimentary understanding of it. Basically, you want to, autophagy, I think, means in Latin. The Latin breakdown is like the cell eats itself, essentially. So it's a good way to rid yourself of old cells, cells that are not as working as efficiently as they did before. And when you do that by stressing the body, not to the point where, you know, you freeze to death or anything. But you want to stress the body so that it gets rid of the stuff, the cells that it doesn't need or are working inefficiently. And then that allows for more energy for new cell growth, for regeneration that would allow the body to work more efficiently and more effectively. So there's a few ways to induce autophagy. Cryotherapy is one of them. Or it's similar to like you see a lot of people doing these cold plunges. Same thing. You get in a situation where the body is very, very cold, not for extended amount of time, maybe like, 5-10 minutes tops, 3 minutes maybe, I don't know. And then other ways to do that are obviously like exercise. And then, of course, my personal favorite, intermittent fasting. If you don't eat for an extended period of time, that's also another good way to induce autophagy. So there you go.
Well, that's interesting. I kind of did it. I just thought it was kind of cool. And I knew that there was, you know, some reported supposed health benefits from this thing, but I always just thought it'd be kind of cool to do, literally. And
it's good for inflammation as well, to reduce inflammation.
Definitely have that. Yeah. A lot of that. And so it was kind of crazy. It was, you got in this machine and you put on these wool mittens. And I got it because it was a special that they were running, and it was 2 sessions for $39. So I was like, "Oh, okay, I'm gonna try this out." So they give you a robe, and you keep your boxers on, and then they give you heavy socks and some slippers to put on, and you can get in the machine. I guess when you get in, you can take the robe off if you want to. I opted not to do that, But you could, you know, kind of stand there and if they shut the door and they put on some music for you and it gets cold fast. But the thing,
how long was that session?
It was, the first session was a beginner session and it was 2 minutes and 30 seconds. I was in there.
Okay.
And it was kind of crazy because it was so cold that you didn't even feel it. So I never was, you didn't get that shiver response or anything. It was just,
but it was uncomfortable.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say the temperature made me uncomfortable, but I did have problems kind of breathing. And I'm wondering, I guess it was kind of the fight or flight.
Parasympathetic nervous system.
Yeah, because you're dying. I mean, you can't stay in there for too long or you're going to die.
Oh, no, and that's why they keep them in so you don't get frostbite.
Right. Right. So, and I guess the top layer of your skin kind of freezes, and that's why you don't get that really shiver response type of thing, I guess. I had a real hard time, and I thought I was going to have to bail at a certain point because I was like, he told me, don't breathe in through your nose, just kind of take like slow breaths in through your mouth. And I don't know if it was just because maybe it was just the cold, how cold it was, and it was hitting my lungs, but it was. I thought I was going to have to bail out, but thank God he opened the door right when I thought I was finito.
You're hitting the limit. What last question before we go, what prompted you to want to do it? Is it just like, did you listen to a podcast? Is there someone that recommended it to you?
I think I heard about it from Joe Rogan on one of his shows and I thought, listen, oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. Why do you think I'm doing jujitsu, man? Like Joe Rogan said, it was a good idea. So yeah. Like, here I am.
Yeah. So I guess. Yeah, it was an experience. And I know that when I got out of there, he said, and they test your skin to see what your temperature is of how you react to it. And I guess that I was held up good enough that they recommend the intermediate round next go around, which I am still, I don't.
A longer period of time, I imagine.
Longer period of time. I think it's 3 or 3.5 minutes. At that temperature, and I'm hesitant. I don't know if I'm going to go back. I don't know. I felt good when I got out of there, but I think it's because I was alive that my body was like, oh my God, you just,
I think it was just that it was over. Like it was not a good experience. And then like, that's how I felt doing, hot yoga. Like I'd feel amazing when it was over. It's like, yeah, but I was in a torture chamber for 90 minutes. Of course I'm going to feel good when I walk out of it.
Yeah.
So it's hard. Hell, you know,
there probably was some of that for sure. I felt good. I probably will do it again but I think I need I don't know. I don't know if I should wait, you know, a few weeks and really think about it, or if I'll be like, oh no, it's too scary. I don't know if I can do it again. But
yeah,
I feel,
you know,
like,
what? But if you recommend that place, maybe I'll go, because I think I've wanted to try cryotherapy or like a cold plunge or something. So
yeah,
I could do
that. Yeah, I could send you the info. And
yeah, send me.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to them because I want to see if I can get them as a client for that Saturday morning show that I do. I would love to.
Ooh, that's actually a great idea. That's right up your alley for the weekly checkup.
Yeah, on Saturday mornings on the Bone there at 10. Yeah, so I think I want to try to do that. So, yeah, I guess I am going to have to go do that so I could try to meet the owner of this facility. But I'll send you the info. They did tell me that a friend can come in and do the $39 two sessions deal. So.
It's in St. Pete.
It's in St. Pete's. I walked there. It's so close that I was able to walk.
Okay,
there.
Cool. It's really close. All right, cool.
All right, Anna. Thanks so much. That's the show this week. Please head over to hmbradio.com. Sign up for the mailing list. Check out the store over there. Buy yourself a hoodie, a t-shirt, a hat, something along those lines. I would appreciate that. It's probably only going to be up a few more months because, frankly, it's costing me more money than what I'm making on it. So go get it while you can. I think August is when the store expires, so I'll probably let it expire in August. So please go check that out. Get it while you can, and subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Join us on Wednesdays between 5 and 6 o'clock sometime. Click the bell so you know when we're live, and you can join in. It was nice to have Bob Tuscan popped in, and that was always fun to talk to him. He's a kooky fella, so good to hear from him, and we'll talk to you. Too. All you got to do is click the link and we'll add you to the stream. You'll be on the show. And that's good times. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line if you want to leave a message over there. That would be great. Facebook.com/HMB Radio. Home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter for me. And that will do it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete or Sunshine FM, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Goodbye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.